A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Paul and Barnabas preached the good news in Derbe and made a considerable number of disciples. Then they went back through Lystra and Iconium to Antioch. They put fresh heart into the disciples, encouraging them to persevere in the faith. "We all have to experience many hardships," they said, "before we enter the kingdom of God." In each of these churches they appointed elders, and with prayer and fasting they commended them to the Lord in whom they had come to believe. And they passed through Pisidia and reached Pamphylia. Then, after proclaiming the word at Perga, they went down to Attalia and from there sailed for Antioch, where they had originally been commended to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On their arrival, they assembled the church and gave an account of all that God had done with them and how God had opened the door of faith to the pagans. And they stayed there with the disciples for some time. Earlier this week, I went to a meeting in the town I live in, which had been called by two women who were concerned about the effects of such things as climate change and the growing oil crisis. They started by showing us a most interesting movie called The Power of Community, How Cuba Survived Peak Oil. And they then moved on to a concept that was new to me called transition towns, a concept based on how a community can thrive by becoming more resilient in the event that oil becomes scarce and expensive, and by reducing our reliance on fossil fuels. I have to confess that I got lost on some of the ideas they raised. I need a bit of persuading about the practicality of something they called the Green Dollar Exchange. But there was no doubt that the basic thrust of the presentation, that sooner or later we are going to have to deal with climate change and oil shortage, and that it better be sooner rather than later, the concept was accepted as truth among the quite large group of people attending. The thing that struck me most was the commitment and the enthusiasm of the two middle-aged women who had arranged the meeting. What they were calling for, at the most basic level, was a fundamental change in the way we live our lives. Not the easiest of things to convince people about. And they were not sophisticated presenters. They had no media savvy or smooth talk, just ordinary folk who, over a period of some years, had become utterly committed to a concept they regarded as the most important one for the future of humankind. And they were prepared to go to any lengths to tell other people about what they had found. It's the kind of enthusiasm that we read about in the Acts of the Apostles today. Paul and Barnabas have a passion for the story they have to tell about Jesus and a passionate concern for the people they meet as they journey. And they travel ceaselessly, sometimes long distances, bringing the good news to new places, supporting Christian groups already established, facing danger and discomfort and opposition all the time. The places mentioned in the book of Acts are mere names to us, but they serve to demonstrate the incredible dedication that Paul and Barnabas had for their task. What they saw among the people they visited was a desperate need for a gospel of love and liberation, a message of joy and meaning. and they were prepared to go to any lengths to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people of the world. Well, we look at our world today and we don't see too many Pauls and Barnabases travelling the world, bringing the good news with them. At times, our church may even seem dull and unenthused, more interested in keeping things on an even keel than setting out on new journeys. So, has the enthusiasm faded away? No, I don't think it has. It's still there, but it aims in some new directions. And the condition of our world, our planet, is one direction that is drawing together the truly Christian concern and enthusiasm. You know, for a long time, we Christians thought we could treat our world as ours to exploit. We took the end of chapter 1 of the book of Genesis to mean we could do what we liked with the world. We were the boss. But we have come to learn that we cannot treat our world with contempt and violence. Just last year, Pope Benedict said this: humanity, if it truly desires peace, must be increasingly conscious of the links between natural ecology, or respect for nature, and human ecology. Experience shows that disregard for the environment always harms human coexistence, and vice versa. It becomes more and more evident that there is an inseparable link between peace with creation and peace among human beings. Well, those two women who called that meeting this week in my town were following in the footsteps of Paul and Barnabas. To a world that often seems enveloped in consumerism, convenience, and greed, Helen and Sonia were bringing a truly Christian message. It was a message of liberation and hope for a world in desperate need.